And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama, my home. I'm talking about, man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Coming up top of the hour, don't forget, Mike Durant, former special operations aviator, businessman, senatorial candidate. He'll be on the phone with us talking about what we're about to talk about now, kicking the anthill. So let me just start off with a few things just to give you the image of where we are. Right now, there has been no ground invasion yet of Gaza. We are seeing the staging of troops. We are seeing the posturing of logistics. We are watching the what they would call the IPB, the intelligence preparation of the battlefield. We're watching things begin to slowly form so that Israel, at a time of its choosing, can launch. And I'm assuming they still will. Just so you know, story here on the Post-Millennial that came out yesterday, the Biden administration has selected 2,000 U.S. troops to prepare to deploy in support of Israel. What does that mean? Well, they didn't identify them. They just did say, though, that they will not be serving in combat roles. You may think, well, why are we sending people over there? Here's the deal. I guarantee you what this is. There's a thing in the Army vernacular called the RSOI. The RSOI is the reception, the staging, the onward movement, and integration of U.S. forces. So what you try to do is when you know you got something coming or when you just have a contingency brewing, you send your RSOI teams forward and get them ready to receive troops and, you know, to lay on the quarters and to make sure the logistics hub's in place and get the dining halls ready. And, oh, by the way, just to even do the little things like when you get here, we're going to scan your ID so that we know you are in theater and we can count you appropriately. It's an accountability, a logistics, it's a you know, lead, guide, and direct type moment. So that's what I'm imagining is probably happening. They're forward staging RSOI in case they have to surge U.S. troops to the battlefield for any reason. But anyway, 2,000 U.S. troops who are apparently already staged in and around Middle East and Europe are being told to be on standby for forward posture. The National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, though, also echoed sentiments saying, the president's sentiment saying that there are no plans currently to put U.S. troops on the ground in this fight. However, you have a separate article. I'll come back to that. John Kirby, what he said. Separate article, Hill from the Hill. It is now up to 199 hostages that are believed being held in Gaza. Who does that? Who does that? Do you remember anybody in modern warfare that you look at and respect and go, well, I really appreciate the fact they took hostages. That's a good plan. We're not talking about prisoners of war. If they had taken an Israeli soldier off the battlefield and were holding him prisoner, everybody would go, dang, look at that. But what they've done is they've got elderly and children and people they dragged out of their homes, and they're literally holding them hostage. There's zero benefit to doing this. There is zero about the laws of war, if you get down to it, that would allow for this. What you're looking at are thugs who have taken them for the purposes of terror, number one, for the purposes of trying to create negotiation leverage, number two, and number three, to use them as human shields. That's what's happening. They're hoping that Israel will go, man, we can't go in. They've got women and children down there in the bunker. There is, at some point, Israel's not going to know where they are and may still have to do what they have to do, which is a horrible situation to be in, but it's not Israel putting themselves in that position. It's Hamas. The State Department confirmed, by the way, that 30 U.S. citizens have been killed and that of the missing, 13 of them are U.S. citizens who may actually be in the pool of hostages. Here's another one. I told you a minute ago that John Kirby, National Security Council spokesperson, said that there's no plans right now to put boots on the ground. However, when he was being interviewed by Shannon Bream from Fox, this story came from Breitbart. Shannon Bream said to him, Senator Tom Cotton has said that special operations forces should be there. They have an obligation to get Americans out, especially when we think they're being held hostage. Would we have U.S. boots on the ground for that? That's when he said there's no plans or intentions to do so. And she said, but to retrieve Americans? And that's when he came back and says, well, what I won't do is rule anything in or out. when it comes to getting our hostages home. So I'm of the belief that probably, and in fact, if you remember the other day, we had retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin on the show with us, retired from a career in special operations. Hostage rescue was a part of his bailiwick, one of the founding members of Delta Force. And he said, and I agree, that he absolutely would imagine that the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, JSOC is the parent unit that has SEAL Team 6, Army Rangers, Delta Force, you know, all of these major special missions units underneath their command structure. That JSOC is probably spun up and has hostage rescue capability already forward in the theater. We'll see. But let's talk about what it's going to be like. Urban warfare has got to be one of the most brutal and difficult places to conduct military operations of anything. I can just tell you, here's personal experience. Baghdad in 2004, during the Shia uprising, when the Mahdi militia was going at it, was amazingly difficult. I mean, when you get mortared, and like at one point my FOB took in like 120 rounds of mortar fire in about a 4 or 5 day period, and you try to find the point of origin. Well, the point of origin is hidden behind buildings. They fire them sometimes from rooftops, and it gets crazy. Then you have the narrow confines of the foreign streets. And then you have the heat, because in Baghdad, in the middle of summer, when it's 128 degrees, well, guess how hot that concrete gets? We called it concrete hell. And then you have missions. We would do things like cordon and search, or cordon and raid, or, you know, a combat sweep where you basically started on one end and flushed everything towards the other end of the neighborhood. And when you do a cordon and search, for instance, and you're going to basically surround an entire neighborhood with your forces, no one gets in, no one gets out, and then you start going door to door, it gets pretty dicey. It also gets pretty crazy because sometimes the streets all look the same. There were neighborhoods in central Baghdad that predate the formation of Baghdad as a modern city. The Sheikh Omar district of downtown Baghdad, the streets were so narrow we couldn't get a Humvee through them. It was all on foot. And then all of a sudden it would open up into a big courtyard, and then it would go narrow again, little alleyways. And he got to where, did I go to that door already? I'm not sure. It looks like all the other doors. And so we had to actually carry chalk in our pockets. And as we searched a home, we would come back out the door and mark the door with a big X so that the next people who came along wouldn't be searching the same house twice. I mean, folks, it gets to be madness. And then you hear a shot fired and you can't tell where it's coming from because it echoes off the brick walls. Or when the car bomb goes off, the dust comes flying down the alley. You're not sure if it's next to you or down the street. All I'm saying is this. In my limited experience, urban warfare is extremely difficult. But it's not just my experience. In the modern world right now, Fallujah and Mogadishu and Mariupol, from what we hear in the battle between the Russians and the Ukrainians, are probably the three biggest examples of deeply, deeply difficult urban warfare. But now we're about to see Gaza. I want you to picture this. The Gaza Strip. It is one-third the size of Huntsville. Can you imagine that? It's one-third the size of Huntsville. Huntsville with, remember, what did you tell me? 200 and how many square miles? 200 and, I got to find it now. I got to find it. I wrote it down in my notes. Yeah, Huntsville has 220 square miles. Boom, looked it up for me before the show. 220 square miles, Huntsville. Population of Huntsville, roughly 215,000-ish plus. All right, so there's 220 square miles, 215,000 people. Gaza Strip, 88 square miles, 2 million people. Can you imagine? One-third the size of Huntsville with 2 million people crammed in it. What that means is they're stacked up. Majority of the buildings rise above the ground, and people are stacked up in those buildings. It's not like you have a great deal of just space to work with. There are several cities within the Gaza Strip, but you know, what we're looking at right now is the northern section is the worst. There's an article here that I pulled off of Business Insider, and I'll do this one for the break. Business Insider, the headline, It's a trap, warns a UK spy chief, as Israel prepares for months of brutal urban warfare. What they're saying here in this article is brutal urban warfare on the streets of Gaza and its maze of tunnels. A former UK intelligence chief warned that it's a trap. They don't. It's only a trap if you don't know it's coming. But I'll say this. I do agree with the article. The premise of the statement being made is, this is what they want you to do, guys. They're drawing you in. Israel knows that. They're not surprised by this. They just don't have any choice anymore. Israel has not wanted this fight the entire time. And the enemy has built an extensive network of tunnels that is like beyond anything that we have in mind. I mean, we had the underground tunnel complexes in Vietnam, but they were dirt. You know, we had situations in other places like in Mariupol in the Ukraine where it was a lot of undergrounds under a factory, but it was limited space. They're saying right now that the amount of tunnels that have been dug, the Hamas itself brags they have over 300 miles of tunnel network. They call it the Gaza Metro. They're all concrete. They go from building to building. They got power. They got lights. They got storage bunkers. They got command rooms. They're everywhere. They've been digging tunnels for years, and they're built like bunkers. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back. What we're about to see is I think Israel's about to kick an anthill, but they don't have any choice. When the anthill is taking up a big chunk of your yard and causing problems, you got to do something about it. In this case, Israel's about to kick that anthill. We'll see where it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, don't forget, by the way, top of the hour, we'll have Mike Durant calling in, talking with us about his thoughts on what it was like to be a part of the planning and operations in a the urban environment of Mogadishu was incredibly difficult. And if anybody can speak to it, he can. Allie from Harvest just texted in and says, I saw on Rumble that there are jihad camps here. 35 in total, one of them Alabama. Fake news or not, I don't know. Allie, if you've got a link to an article on that. Now, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that there are jihadis in America. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that there are not even training camps for jihadis in America. But if they've identified 35 of them and one here in Alabama, I'd like to know any more about it. If you got an article, go ahead and send a link to it. We'd appreciate it. Jenny from Decatur, why would President Biden go to visit a country at war? He's showing solidarity, and he's probably making rounds in the regions, and he's hoping he could have a chance to meet with leaders of Hamas and maybe probably broker some kind of peace deal, I guarantee you. But breaking news right this very minute, Jenny, is that Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas has canceled his meeting with Biden based upon bombings that are going on in Gaza right now. So, yeah, he's making a trip. I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't recall him making a trip to Ukraine 10 days after Russia invaded. Anyway, there's that. Raven from Russellville talking about the troops that are deploying. He says, no combat role. Anybody remember Vietnam? Yes. And he says, terror cells in my state? Cool. Shoot, move, and communicate. Presto, no more terror cells. Raven's always looking for a little something, isn't he? Just saying. Yeah. Jeff from Indiana texted in and says, Phil, there doesn't need to be any urban fighting. I would simply announce that we're going to flatten every building that we come to at a designated time to get people out. And if they don't get out, that's on them. It's the same thing as if you're told that a hurricane's coming, it's going to wipe you out unless you get out. You'll probably die. So here's the deal, though, with that, Jeff. The laws of warfare do not smile upon those who go in and just salt the earth. And I get it. To some degree, you have to. But what we're looking at right now is a situation where the people of Gaza have been given warnings. They've been told, get out. There are buildings being flattened, but they're choosing those buildings carefully because they want to find the ones that have a military target attached to them, whereas Hamas could care less. Hamas descends unguided rockets into, you know, into the atmosphere and just sees where they land. I mentioned those tunnels to you. Story here on CNN, dated this morning. They call it the Gaza Metro. It says the myriad of tunnels under Gaza are best known as passageways used to smuggle goods from Egypt and launch attacks into Israel, but there exists a second underground network that the Israeli Defense Forces refer to as the Gaza Metro. It's a vast labyrinth of tunnels, by some accounts, several kilometers underground. Wow, that deep? Good Lord. How can they go that deep? Used to transport people and goods, to store rockets and ammunition caches, and house Hamas command and control centers, all away from the prying eyes of the IDF's aircraft and surveillance drones. Now, I remember back in the day when we were looking at the invasion of Afghanistan, and there were all these speculations about the vast tunnel complexes that the Taliban have, and they didn't. In this case, though, Israel has been discovering and filming and showing the world the tunnels for years. And they are pretty extensive. I bet some of them are rudimentary, but there's some of them that they're going to find out are very sophisticated. And what they're also finding is that, you know, they've been spending, Hamas has been spending a massive amount of money building tunnels that could have been used to assist their people. And they've been building these tunnels with concrete that was probably taken from concrete provided for civilian aid that could have been used for things like bomb shelters or whatever else, but no, they've been building tunnels. Hamas in 2021 claimed to have built 500 kilometers, that's 311 miles, worth of tunnels under Gaza, though it's unclear if that figure is accurate. If it's true, though, it's a little less than half the length of the entire New York City subway system. Woo, good Lord. And by the way, they don't have the kind of sophisticated equipment that it would take to build a subway system. The article here points out they're probably diggers using basic tools, burrow deep underground to dig the network, then wiring it with electricity and reinforced by concrete, and it's going to be something else. Getting through those tunnels is going to be the deal. Last one I've got before the break. This came out a couple days ago, about 5 days ago. The Modern War Institute at West Point published a piece called "These Are the Challenges Awaiting Israeli Ground Forces in Gaza." And this is by the way, this is written at the U.S. Military Academy. It says, if Israel is indeed planning an assault by ground forces into Gaza, these forces will confront a range of challenges, some that will match those of recent urban battles, others that stem from unique characteristics of the urban terrain. What will they look like? And it says, a series of recent urban battles have been fought in cities with comparable population densities like Baghdad, Fallujah, Mosul, Kiev, and Mariupol. But as lessons make clear, one of the most densely populated territories on Earth can present major difficulties for U.S. for military forces. So yeah, it goes on to point out, and I won't try to read the whole article to you, but it says combat in dense urban terrain is the most complex and difficult type of warfare. And it's true, y'all. I mean, listen, I mentioned earlier just my own personal experiences in Baghdad. It's amazing the complexities. I mean, what you found happening in the Battle of Mogadishu, if you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, is they would go down a street believing they were on track to get somewhere, only to find the street had been blockaded, have to back out and go back out the way they came under withering fire in both directions. And then you turn a corner, and next thing you know, you're in the clear, but then you turn another corner and you just hit a hornet's nest again. And while the bad guys may own the rooftops, you've got no choice but to stay on the ground. And it can be, listen, and all that, you have the presence of non-combatants. I can just tell you right now, we literally had moments where we went in with a breach team only to find the place filled up with women and children. And then we go in another time and we'd find things that, no, that was not what we expected. It's a dicey place to conduct warfare, and it's going to be something else. Coming up next, Mike Durant is going to give us his thoughts on what the planning and operations in an urban environment looks like from firsthand experience. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.